Be in 1 John 5 this morning, verse 11, verse 12, and verse 13.
That's a good question, bro.
Yes, they are. Like them. 1 John 11, 1 John 12, 1 John 13. I want to talk to you today about eternal life. Let's read together. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 13 is basically the conclusion of 1 John 5. The rest of the verses are kind of like housekeeping verses. They're sort of like the announcements at the end of the service. You know, we usually conclude our service with a sermon and a little bit of a song and a prayer, and then we have a few more things you need to do before we let you go home. And all the epistles kind of have some things there. There's good stuff there, but verse 13 is the culmination of all that John has been saying to us thus far, and all that he's been talking about. We've talked about the Gnostics and the heresy that was affecting the church, and how that John is writing to combat that. And all of that comes to verse number 13. He says, "These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you believe on the name of the Son of God." That's what I want to talk to you about today, is eternal life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the songs of praise we were able to sing to your name this morning. Now, Lord, as we look to your word, we just pray that you will bless this time together with the church, in Jesus' name. Amen. Eternal life is a very important topic. In fact, the thought of the afterlife is something that we all have to wonder with. You may be at a time in your life right now where you say, no, I'm not afraid to die. I'm not thinking about the afterlife, and that's good. But I promise you, there has been a time or will be a time in your life where you're thinking about, where am I going to go when I die? What's going to happen when this life is over? How many of you be honest this morning and say, I've had those thoughts before? That's almost every one of us in here. I mean, it's something. People who are alive, we think about death. I mean, that's just part of living, is to consider what's going to happen. And man, I'm thankful for the Bible that gives us some assurance, some things that we can know. And we trust God's word as truth. And we can take these truths and apply them to our hearts and have peace in this life about the afterlife. And here the Bible teaches, as we consider what happens after I die? What do I cease to exist, or do I continue to exist in another form? The Bible teaches that after this life, there is another. Those without a relationship with Christ perish. Those who know Him inherit eternal life with Him. Let's begin in verse number 11. As John says very plainly, God has given us eternal life. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. John begins with a nice saying there, this is the record. I like that. This is the witness. If you were, as if you were having to go before an authority, a court, a judge or some judges, a panel, and there, a record had to be given, a witness had to be given, a piece of evidence. Have you ever been right, but you couldn't prove it? You know, sometimes you just know you're right, but you can't really put it, you can't bring up evidence to the thing. You can't make your case because there is no evidence. I got angry a while back at a large corporation. I thought, I'm so mad at them, and I'm going to sue them. I'm not big on suing. Don't think this is my thing, but I thought, I'm just going to sue them. And in my mind, I had these ideas, you know, it's going to get in the papers, and we're really going to just tear them down because I'm angry about what they're doing here. So I called a lawyer, and I said, I want to sue so-and-so. And they're like, really? You? Now, what was your name again? And I said, I got a good case. Okay, tell me your case. And I told them everything, well, what I was upset about and why I wanted to sue them. And they said, well, do you have any evidence? And I was like, well, no, that's just how they are. And they were like, well, you don't really have a case if you don't have some. If you can get up some evidence, you might can. But I'm going to tell you, this was the lawyer speaking, I'm going to tell you, they've got more lawyers than we can deal with. It'd be a big deal. You know, they pretty much were patting me on the back saying, just calm down, it's going to be okay. But sometimes we know something, but we don't have a case. We don't have any evidence. We don't have a witness. We don't have a record. I'm glad John begins this morning with, this is the record, This is the witness. God has given a record or a witness to individual believers. Now, an unbeliever may hear this morning and say, well, what? What is the record? What is the proof? What is the evidence? And the problem there is a lack of belief in the Word of God. But people who believe the Word of God understand that this is the record. This is the evidence. This is the witness. Faith in God, faith in Christ, comes through the Holy Spirit. That working, that knowledge comes to us through the Word. The question begins, how do we know? Well, we know through the witness of the Spirit within. Believers have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling them. And you come to this understanding, this what the world would call an enlightenment of knowing, because the Holy Spirit of God witnesses within inside of you. But even with that, you don't always have words to put to it. You don't know how to say that you know. Well, then there is the witness of the Word of God. And we learn the Scriptures, and we hide the Scriptures, and we understand the Scriptures. And then we know. We can say that we know because of what we know through the Word. Eternal life is a gift from God. It is not something that we earn. Now, I like to earn my keep. Are you raised to earn your keep? In fact, if someone gives me a gift, I like to give a gift back. Somebody blesses me in a way, I like to be a blessing back to them, even if it's just a thanks. Or these days, a text message. You know, thank you very much. But this is a gift from God. It's nothing that we could earn. Jesus said this in John 10. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, that's a wonderful verse of Scripture, isn't it? Let's break that down just a little bit. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Do you believe Jesus knows who you are? Absolutely, he does. And he says, no man can pluck you out of his hand. Well, that's encouraging. That's good to know. But he takes that a step farther and he says, my Father, which gave them to me. Well, how did Jesus get us? God, Almighty God, gave us to God the Father. Be honest. There's some things that are very important to me, not because they have any worldly value, but because they're things that my daddy gave to me. Y'all have that same relationship with some things in your life? Or your mama gave you, your grandpa, somebody important to you, gave them to you? There's some things that aren't even tangible. They're just some values that I have that my father gave to me that I pass along to my boys. And they're not complicated things, small things. Let a lady go through the door first. My dad taught me that. I won't ever forget when my dad taught me that. Of course, I thought I was about to die. He snatched me up and he said, boy, always let a lady go first through the door. Like, don't kill me, please. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. But I learned that, and I learned the respect that it shows to a lady and the respect you receive back from showing that respect to a lady. And I teach that to my boys. And things that are passed on to us like that are very special, very important. And on a much greater sense here, Jesus says, no man can pluck you out of my hand, but he takes that father and he says, my Father gave you to me. This is something that is you are very special to Jesus, because God the Father has given you over to him. And then he says, God is greater than all. Do you believe that? I mean, even without the written words of Scripture, I have this understanding that Almighty God is greater than all. Even those who won't give themselves over to believe that there is an Almighty God, they will all tell you that there's something they believe that's greater than them that has happened sometime in history to allow them to be here. There's not a person upon the face of the earth, no matter what they believe, who doesn't believe that there's something greater than them that caused them to exist. Every belief system upon the face of the earth teaches this. Well, we know what that is. It's Almighty God. So the God who is greater than all, the God who created all that we know and can know, the God who himself created knowledge and knowing and the brain that allows us to think to know, gave us, Jesus' sheep, to him. And not only are we in his hand, but what does Jesus say there? No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. We're in the Father's hand. That's eternal life. In fact, in the church, we've taken that a step farther than eternal life, and we call it eternal security. It's a secure eternal life. But eternal life is a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9 teaches that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Those verses say a lot. In fact, verse 10 says a lot after that, but it doesn't get to where we want to be in the sermon this morning, so I'm trying to leave it be. I love verse 10 there. If you want to write down Ephesians 2:10 and go study about it when you leave, that would be great. But it's all by grace, and we understand that. But then we understand that it's through faith. Well, me, being a person who likes to earn his keep, work for what he has, these kinds of things, then I think, okay, God gives grace, but I have to have enough faith to get the grace. Well, if I could have enough faith to get the grace, well, then what does that make my salvation? Works. Even though I'm not doing a ritual to be saved, even though I'm not living such a way to stay saved, I'm feeling like within myself, because I have enough faith, then I'm meriting my salvation. Well, if I'm meriting my salvation, what did I just eliminate? Grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then Paul writes the thing that we all needed to hear. What? And that not of yourselves. Even the faith that you have to be saved did not originate within you. Where did it come from? How did I get this faith? The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Lazarus. Think of Lazarus in the grave. Did Lazarus apologize to Jesus or Mary and Martha? Did he, I'm sorry I laid around dead for 3 days or however long it was when Jesus raised him from the grave? No. Did Lazarus get up and say, oh man, I can't believe I was that stinky. I knew I was beginning to stink in my death. No, why didn't Lazarus do any of these things? Lazarus was dead. You ever seen a dead person do anything? Do you want to see a dead person do anything? No. I don't know where the tradition came with this sitting up with the dead. Some of your families may still do that. I don't know. I don't think people do that anymore. But I'm glad that we don't and that people don't. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not afraid of ghosts, but I am afraid of dead bodies. I don't know why. I know they can't do anything to me, but there they are. You know, it's just odd to me. But Jesus came to Lazarus, this dead man. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up and he came forth. He came back to life. That is the idea that we need painted in our brains as we consider in the book of Ephesians as Paul writes to them and says, and you have He quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sins. He has made you alive spiritually, who were dead spiritually. And in this making you alive, you receive faith to believe unto salvation. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We do boast. We will boast. But our boasting is only in the cross. Boast in the cross. Boast in your Savior. But not of works. Don't boast. Don't boast in your church membership. Don't boast in your baptism. Don't boast in how much you read your Bible or how much you pray. Boast in the glory of God. Boast in the cross. Boast in His grace and His goodness that led you to baptism, that led you to church membership, that led you to read your Bible and to pray. And to speak of the glories of God. So God has given us eternal life. And it was a gift, not of works. But we need to understand, as John teaches here this morning, that eternal life, this gift, is not a thing, but a person. Now this is where most miss it. This is where most struggle in their life with, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't know if I have eternal life or not. This is where most people go through their entire life and on their deathbed will even testify to this fact that I hope I'm saved. I think I'm saved. I want to be saved. I hope that as I die, and they, people have this mentality that they're going to stand before God someday, and as long as their good outweighs their bad on God's balance scales, that everything's going to be all right. Can you give scripture and verse for that? Some of you may believe that here this morning, that there's no scripture and verse for that. Why would God have us live by a standard that He didn't put in His Bible? Have you considered this? And hey, I'm a preacher, and shame on preachers because you know this because preachers have preached this to you. But there's no Bible for it. When I was in high school, I left regular school after 9th grade, and 10th, 11th, and 12th grade, I went to a Christian school because I already had started preaching. I knew I wanted to go ahead and be studying the Bible. And I loved my Bible class in high school. And I loved to argue the Bible with the Bible teacher. That wasn't very wise, was it? Here I am, 10th, 11th, 12th grader, 15, 16, 17 years old. And here's this Bible teacher who they've entrusted to understand and know enough about the Bible and have the books to teach us about the Bible to be able to teach it to us. And we would argue with him every day, me and the other people. And he would say something, and we would say, well, what about this? And what about that? And usually we were just, well, I lost a button. I'm on a diet. I'll quit popping buttons soon enough. But he would always say to us, can you give me Bible for that? Then I hated it. Because I just knew. I said, I'm right. I know I'm right. I feel like I'm right and you're wrong. And he would give us Bible. He's just twisting scriptures to make his point because he knows the Bible better than us. That's kind of how I think about it. But now I rest in that fact. Can you give me Bible for that? If you can't give me Bible for that, then don't even tell it to me. I can give you Bible for this, and that's why I'm telling you this morning. We have eternal life. And eternal life is not a substance. It is not a thing. It is not a... You mess up your theology really good here. It's not even a faith. And we're people of faith. And we believe in faith. And all that we have is that we call ourselves faith, people of faith. And it's all a faith thing. But no, this gift of eternal life is not even that. What is it? It is a person. Jesus Christ. That's what he says here. We've been given the gift of eternal life since we can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Eternal life is through his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We receive eternal life not only from Christ, but in Christ. Of course it's from Christ. Jesus said that to us already. My sheep hear my voice. We read those verses. But it is this thing of being in him, being in a relationship with him. This is not just life in regards to living that he's speaking of here as he uses the word life. This is eternal life that he's speaking of here in verse number 12. The gift of the Son. The gift of the Son is received by faith. God goes on record here in his word as offering eternal life to those who believe on Jesus Christ. Millions of Christians have proved since that God's record is true. Don't you think that were this not truth, that eventually it would have fizzled out? Surely. What else has lasted this long throughout history? John has already taught us, we read last week in the verses before, to not believe God in this is to make him a liar. Well, if God is a liar, then what else is certain? You see, if God is a liar, then nothing is certain. The laws of physics aren't certain if God is a liar. If God is a liar, then your car will not start when you leave here today. These lights would not burn. The planes would drop out of the air. Boats would not float upon the oceans. If God is a liar, then the air you breathe would choke you out and you would die. We believe God and all of these other things that he's created before us and allowed to happen in such a way that we can come to understand them and know them and act upon them and enjoy the life that we have. But when it comes to eternal life, we go through life with this, well, I hope so. Is that how you take an airplane ride? I know that there's guys smarter than me who figured out how the air works and how to get a plane up there and how to get it back down again and to tote me along. I do not get on an airplane saying, well, I hope we make it. Now, we know planes crash. I do get on an airplane thinking, I hope nobody crashes this plane. Ever since September the 11th, 2011, I have that thought. Every time I've been on an airplane, ever since. And I go through the airports, and I'm looking at people. You know, as if all of a sudden, because I'm in the airport, I've become some kind of detective. And I'm looking for them, you know. Let me find a terrorist here. I'm going to eye them down. I don't profile, though. You know, I don't look for the guys with the rag on the head and the beards and all these. I'm watching some of these, like, little old men, little old ladies. Those are the ones I'm watching for. See, I think the terrorists have gotten smart. But as some of our senior citizens, I weren't. No, I'm just kidding. Just joking. But I worry on that measure. But I don't get in that plane thinking, man, I don't know if John Newton got it right. The air may not be just like he thought. The laws of physics may not work anymore on this flight. So, boy, I think I'm going to fly, but I sure hope we do. I don't jump off in a swimming pool thinking, well, I've been taught that because of my density versus the water's density, and if I kick my legs and do my arms, see, don't swim with me. Not very good. But I don't jump in thinking, well, I hope I don't just stay on the bottom, or I think I can swim, or I hope I can swim. No, I jump in knowing, hey, I know how to swim. And everything's going to be all right as I jump in this water because I've been taught that I can float and that I can propel myself in this water. We believe all of these things, but when it comes to eternal life, which we've actually not had to figure out, we've been given God's Word on, we think to ourselves, well, I just don't know. I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. Hope my good outweighs my bad and I go to heaven someday. Well, not only has God said to you here, you can have eternal life, God sent His Son. God gave you His Son. And because you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you don't just get the thing, you get the person. Eternal life is through His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's verse 16 of John 3. You know that, but we miss verse 17 a lot of times. Listen to verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's pretty simple, isn't it? So we see that God has given us eternal life. We now know that this life is through Jesus, God's Son. And then next comes the assurance in verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The life that is real is not built on empty hopes. It is not built on wishes. It is not based upon human supposings. It is built on assurance. No Christian, if asked whether or not he is going to heaven, needs to say, I hope so or I think so. There is no need to have any doubt whatsoever. John 8:32, John says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. When we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Wasn't that comforting? Peter says, hey, these were not cunningly devised fables. These are not just great wisdoms that some smart people thought up. No, we're just giving you eyewitness of God's majesty. We saw and we heard some things. We walked with Him and we talked with Him. And we've written to you the things that we know. And now we're saying to you, you can know as well. This was the testimony of Jesus' disciples. Almost all of these men died for their faith. Do you realize where you stand in history? What do we know about all of the Old Testament saints? They all died, Hebrews 11, in faith, having what? Never seen the promise. These people had faith, and they never had the completed canon of God's Word. They never had the eyewitness testimony of Jesus Christ. But they all died still having faith that everything was going to be all right because they believed God. And then the New Testament saints. None ever had the completed canon of God's Word. But they were blessed a little more than the Old Testament saints. Some saw the Christ. Some saw the risen Christ. Some lived just a generation later and heard those stories from people they trusted individually. That's great. But look at you and I. We have the testimony of the Old Testament saints. We have the testimony of the New Testament saints. And here we stand today with a completed canon of God's Word in our hands. But of all people of all time who struggle the most to have faith, to believe, to admit that we believe, It's you and I. And usually, it's more simple than I'm making it this morning. Usually, it's not because we don't understand. Usually, it's not because we just have trouble believing. Usually, it's because, well, I just don't want to jump off that deep in this life and be seen in that light. I'll go to church on Sunday morning, maybe only 3 times a month. I don't want my neighbors to think I'm that fanatical. I'm going to read my Bible, but I'm not going to talk about it. I'll pray, but I won't pray publicly. But I'll pray, especially when I need something, when somebody needs something from me. I'm just going to kind of be a maybe-so Christian. I'm not going to jump off into this thing too much. The preacher, he can do that, and we expect him to be that way, but not me. I just still kind of want to be accepted by this world. I don't want to be seen as an oddball. So we go through the life. I'm not foolish enough to think it's because we don't believe or that we can't believe. It's because we kind of want to ride the fence. 1 foot in the world and 1 foot in the church. This was not the testimony of Jesus' disciples. The testimony of Jesus' disciples were, we left all and we followed Him. He died and our hearts were broken because of this, but we saw Him alive again. And almost all of these men died for their faith. They didn't give their lives over for a clever hoax. This wasn't something of their own devising. They knew what they had seen and what they had heard. John writes here this morning, he says, that you may know that you have eternal life. Years ago, there was a traveling entertainer who billed himself as the human fly. Anybody ever heard of the human fly here this morning? I had never heard of the human fly. He would climb up the sides of buildings and monuments without the aid of ropes or the protection of nets. And usually the whole neighborhood would gather around and they would watch him. During one performance, the human fly came to a point on the wall of a building and he paused as if he didn't know what to do next. Then he reached out with his right arm to take hold of a piece of mortar to lift himself higher. But instead of moving higher, he fell back with a scream and was killed on the pavement below. When the police opened that right hand, it didn't contain a piece of mortar. It contained a handful of dirty cobwebs. The fly had tried to climb on cobwebs and it just didn't work. God wants His children to know that they belong to Him. God does not intend for you to go through your life thinking, I'm going to reach out here in faith, and I'm going to reach out there in faith, and I hope that it's mortar, but then it ends up being cobwebs. God does not want that for you. God wants you to know. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John was inspired by the Spirit to write his gospel to assure us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In chapter 20, verse 31, it says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have eternal life through His name. He wrote His epistle so that we may be sure that we are the children of God. We look back through the epistle of 1 John. What do we see that are as the characteristics of God's children? So, well, you say I can know here this morning, well, give me some substance. John has given you substance all along. First characteristic we see of God's children is in chapter 2, is that they practice righteousness. 1 John 2:29. If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Second, in 1 John 3:9, we see that God's children don't practice sin. And do you remember that sermon? We talked about that. That was kind of a shocking statement to us. Because I sin, you sin. All God's children sin. It wasn't that we don't ever sin, it's that we don't practice sin. We don't continue in it. Whosoever is born of God did not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And then we see a true child of God loves other Christians. 1 John 3:14. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And then here in chapter 5, a characteristic of a child of God is that they overcome the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Wiersbe says of these characteristics, he says, if you bear these birthmarks, you can say with confidence that you are a child of God. Now, you're not going to go before God someday and say, okay, look at my birthmarks. So you got to let me into heaven because I've done all of these things. No, the Christian life is not a checklist. But because of grace and in faith, you'll begin to notice these happenings in your own life. You won't pet sin anymore. You'll love the brethren. You'll pursue righteousness. You'll overcome the world because of that. These are evidences in your life that you know God, that you have eternal life. We have eternal life, and we can know that we do. James Simpson, Sir James Simpson, discovered chloroform. You guys familiar with him? On his deathbed, one of his friends asked him and said, "Sir, what are your speculations?" That's a thing to ask a person on their deathbed, isn't it? What are your speculations? He answered, "Speculations? I have no speculations, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Do you know? Do you know whom you have believed? Are you persuaded that he is able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day? Let's stand and have a time of prayer. Hopefully we're all here today considering ourselves believers. You may be at a moment of doubt this morning. You may be saying, "I lack faith this morning." Well, you can know. You can know that you have eternal life. You can be assured of that this morning. Pray and have faith. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You're not a believer. Today is the day of salvation. Stop going through your life with a hope so, with a think so. You can have the victory that you see other Christians have. It's not fake. It's not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something they've been deceived or fooled into. It's real. You have the record of God that it is real. Come this morning and pray in faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Say, "Father, be merciful to me, a sinner." You're here this morning and you're a believer and you know these things. This is nothing but comfort to your heart. Pray this morning and thank God for it.